Return to our seats. We will go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. And sometimes certain prayer cards get missed. And this is one I want to make sure that we don't miss ever. Praise God, my daughter made it off life support. And so we want to thank the Lord for whoever that is and whatever that situation is. And we just want to pray, Lord, that you would continue to be in this family's life. Lord, that your kingdom would break through in power continually in them. And Lord, you would bring complete and holistic healing to them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, I ask that you would open your Bibles with me and follow along today during our time as we continue to learn about the spiritual discipline, the holy habit and practice of the faith that we are calling living life on mission, in mission and service for God's kingdom purposes. As we have endeavored these past 2 years to look at the various spiritual disciplines, holy habits, and practices of the faith given to us by God the Father, demonstrated to us through Jesus the Son, and empowered in us through the Holy Spirit of God to grow in a deeper and more meaningful, proper, and righteous relationship with Him, ourselves, and others, and to truly walk in a manner worthy of our calling, understanding this is who we have been made to be in Christ Jesus, children of God, to be in close and intimate relationship with Him, joined in mission with Him in this world, His creation. In fact, all that we see that is wrong in this world is the direct result of our separation from Him and the destruction of sin, the destruction that has caused the very disruption of our relationship with Him. We are the clay, and we've tried to tell the potter, God, how things would be better. We tried to become gods ourselves, and as a result, we've created a mess, the mess that we are living in today, a mess that God is actively redeeming. God is actively restoring and recreating as He is actively on mission and has invited us to be active in mission with Him, along with Him, reclaiming all that hell has stolen in the name of Jesus. As He has proclaimed over us, and as the Apostle Paul, Peter, so perfectly articulates and captures for us in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As the Apostle Paul perfectly summarizes in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Our living hope, our life we have in Christ was purchased with a great price. And we must be sure not to allow anything to stand in the way of what we have just described from the Word of God, what we have just heard from the Word of God. However, tragically, the reality is there are so many things that try far too often to do just this. Upon understanding this, we can continue to examine these various obstacles and barriers that we face, not just in living a life of mission, in mission and purpose for God's kingdom, but for all of the disciplines, all of them. Because as I was working on this message, I realized, you know, these are obstacles we face when we want to try to seek to live out a life of contemplation and meditation. There are obstacles we face when we seek to truly set aside and live a life of prayer, to truly fast and abstain from this world and fill our lives with the presence of God, to seek those places of silence and solitude, which, as we have discussed on multiple occasions, it's just not something you find in our culture today. To be able to study His Word, to dig deep in His Word without distraction. There are obstacles, there are barriers everywhere that want to help prevent us. Not help us, but to prevent us to truly submit and surrender to God. So much busyness, as we're going to be talking about today in our life, that prevent us from truly taking a day to rest, to be still and know that He is God. So many barriers that keep us in fear so that we would not live radically generous lives. So many barriers that prevent us from truly committing to living life in community with one another, knowing that we have been called to just this, to be family for one another, because we tend to think we have better things to do, especially obstacles and barriers, as we've been discussing for several weeks now, on living a life on mission, and in service for God's kingdom that He has given us to live out. Obstacles and barriers that stand in the way and get in the way of experiencing fully what Peter described for us in 1 Peter 1, 3-9, to be born again to a living hope that is not going anywhere. This living hope that we have been given isn't going anywhere because it is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and it is kept and guarded by God through our faith in Him. That though there are trials, that through trials and through the challenges and the testing, it remains steadfast and strong. And we have the promise that verse 9 says to obtain the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. And we do this. We do this by remaining steadfast, by persevering to the end, by overcoming those obstacles and barriers, which once again we've talked about this. The way we do this is by keeping our eyes focused on Him, living inward lives of discipline, of meditation and contemplation, prayer, fasting and abstaining, silence and solitude, study and submission and surrender to God, leading us to outward transformation and action that God will work in our lives when we live out lives of inward discipline, birthing forth in us outward action like Sabbath rest, radical giving and generosity in life and community. Every one of these barriers and obstacles we have discussed applies to the whole life of faith. And it's so critical that we seek what it is that God has given us to overcome these barriers, such as difficulties and discouragements that we face in seeking to live such a radical and powerful way in Christ. Difficulties and discouragements, barriers that cause discomfort and trials when things don't go the way we have hoped. Things we allow to stand in the way, preventing us from living in the way, the truth, and the abundance of life Jesus has come and given us. Things that prevent us from experiencing fully what it means to be born again to this living hope that we've been given through the resurrection of the dead, through Jesus' resurrection. Obstacles such as fear, which comes and manifests itself in many ways, shapes, and sizes. As we have discussed for several weeks now, the fear of lack, of the fear of harm, the fear of death, the fear of the loss of approval, the fear of abandonment, the fear of rejection. Furthermore, like we discussed last week, the fear of inadequacy, feeling like we'll never be good enough. The fear of incapability, thinking we will never be enough, understanding when in Christ, as we discussed last week, it has nothing to do with our adequacy or our capability, but everything to do with the God we serve, who is completely capable and is always adequate for the task, because we serve a God of abundance, a God of infinite ability. Yes, in ourselves, we little selves are very limited and incapable. But it's not based upon our limitation, but his unlimited nature that we have been called his workmanship, as Ephesians 2:10 says, his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then there's one thing amongst fear that we have yet to discuss, the fear of failure, which is exactly where I thought we were going to be going this week. But yet again, something happened this past week. A powerful thing happened to me. I received in three different settings from three different people a similar and like message. And let me tell you, when God speaks once in such a way, you should listen. Twice, you'd be crazy not to give ear. Thrice, you're out of your mind to not respond. The first was on this Tuesday. My pastoral coach and mentor, whom I've worked with for the past 2 years, by no means said, "Brandon, we're going to loop back around to something we worked on several months ago. And we're going to continue to talk about distraction. We're going to continue to talk about the busyness of our lives. For we often allow the things that have no place in our lives to dictate and rule over us, preventing us from doing what we've been made new again in Christ Jesus to do." This conversation on Tuesday deeply convicted me and made me realize there is a great barrier, a self-imposed barrier that we put upon ourselves of busyness and distraction in this life, to prevent us from living out the mission that God has given us for his kingdom and his purposes here on earth as it is in heaven. It completely changed the trajectory of my preparation for this message. And as I was continuing to work on this, to truly just try to see where it is God was taking me, Lucas gave me the perfect illustration. And son, as you know, your memorandum writes, as being the son of a minister, whatever you say or do can be used as a sermon illustration. I love you. Watching him the other day take a dish out of the dishwasher, put it in the cabinet, and then go back into the living room to watch whatever it is you guys were watching in there, and then come back 5 minutes later to take another dish out of the dishwasher and put it in the cabinet, and then go right back into the living room. There are so many things we distract our lives with that make a simple task that should have just taken 5 minutes, but was on a two-hour cycle. And boy, it was amazing to watch take place. I wonder what God thinks whenever he sees me doing that exact same thing. When he's given me a task to do, but I allow all the distractions and the busyness of the world around me to keep me away from that task, and something that was so simple that if I would just apply my full focus and my full heart to it, how much more effective I would be in that. This was further reinforced by our board meeting on Thursday night, where Carlotta gave us a great word about busyness. In the busyness of our lives, and how so often we can allow the busyness of our lives to wear us down and to prevent us from even budging a muscle into the rest that God promises us. As she read Matthew 11, 28 through 30, a passage we've looked at quite a bit during this whole series of spiritual disciplines. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That we, like Jesus says, are often way too labored, over-labored and heavy-laden. And he is there to give us life and holistic balance in him and with him. Yet in today's world, we continue to pile on things that just do not need to be piled on. And because of this, we burden ourselves with tasks, with worries and concerns we were never meant to bear. Living a life on mission, in mission, in service to God's kingdom should never feel overwhelming, because we have a completely, perfectly capable God on our side. It should never cause us to feel worried about the outcome, because we know who it is that's behind us. It should never cause us to have feelings that we can't, because we serve a God who has already. When we allow our sight to be taken off of Jesus and to be turned to the storm around us, we lose our faith and trust. And much like Peter walking on water with Jesus, we sink. But thanks be to God, because we know what Peter says whenever he sinks. Does anybody know what he says? Anybody? Help. Yes, help. John nailed it. Lord, help me. And you know what the Gospel of Mark says? Immediately. Immediately, Jesus reached in and grabbed him. And so when we too feel this way, we can cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me, and know that he is right there to drag us out of the mess we've created. And then there was our men's breakfast on Saturday morning, where Pastor Gibson gave a great devotional about how we are all too often distracted by the world around us today, that we fill our lives with things that keep our eyes and minds off of Christ, which helps us wander astray. Why would we do such things? It's because we are so distracted today in our world. And distraction and busyness are just methods the enemy uses to keep us from living out a life of hope that we have been given in Christ. That busyness and distraction are the things that separate us more from God than anything else could. Because instead of living in the fully abundant nature of God, we sink into our limited nature and we put a self-imposed barrier between us and him. And all this kept reminding me of a quote by Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch clockmaker and also a resistance fighter during World War II, who would help hide Jews from the Nazis during the Holocaust, who would later be imprisoned for this and would survive, though. And after the war, would begin a ministry to help relocate those who were displaced and needing to find refuge. It's a quote that was quoted by and expounded upon John Mark Comer in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, How to Stay Emotionally Healthy and Spiritually Alive in the Chaos of the Modern World. A lesson that I need to read over and over again. And I can't believe I almost forgot about this particular lesson that is highlighted in my book, highlighted on my Kindle, and flagged in my Audible app. And I almost forgot this truth. Corrie ten Boom once said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. There's truth in that. Both sin and busyness have the exact same effect. They cut off your connection to God, to other people, and even to your own soul. And boy, that is the truth right there. One of the many, once again, highlighted sections that I almost forgot that God reminded me of three times this past week through three different people, three different settings, three different messages. I don't know about you, but have you ever thought you were too busy for that? That your schedule is too full to even consider that? I barely have time to come to a Sunday celebration and service rather than participate in this or that. Not to mention set aside time in the day for prayer. I got stuff to do. To read the Bible and to truly meditate upon it, the Word, and study it and seek the Lord. To find silence? You must be kidding me. Are you crazy? There is no silence in the world today. When we have seen clearly that our faith is so much more than just a simple Sunday event, especially over these past couple of years, it's so much more. This living hope that we've been born again to, as Peter describes, is so much more, but we're living for so much less. We're choosing to live for so many things that are so much less than what we have been called to in this living hope that we've been given by Jesus. Since when was it that we made the faith of following Jesus all about a Sunday event? I'll tell you when it was. It's when we started using butts and bucks as the measurement of success. And there's nothing wrong with the Sunday event. This is part of living a life of discipline. Coming together, being family, encouraging one another, supporting one another, caring for one another, as we discussed for several weeks last month. This is a big part of who we're supposed to be. But all these other things are a big part of who we're supposed to be as well. Because our faith is not grown in the mere Sunday event, but it's grown with how we choose to live for and in Christ each and every day of our lives. Not just on Sunday, but every day. And let me tell you, it's a long time that the Western American church needs to repent of our metrics of success and really ask what it is that God is measuring, what it is that Jesus is measuring. And I fully believe what Jesus is measuring is not what we measure, but he's measuring how our hearts are connected to him, how we are growing in relationship with him, with others, and even with ourselves, that proper right relationship. Yet because of our metrics, we put these self-imposed barriers in between us and we prevent ourselves from truly living out the missional life that he has called us to. Because our enemy, he is smart. He is very capable. And he knows how to get at us, because if he can't make us sin, as Corrie ten Boom says, he will make us busy. Because as already stated by John Mark Comer, to be overwhelmed with busyness disconnects us from God, as it fills our lives with distractions that disconnect us from living lives of spiritual discipline just as effectively as sin does. This understanding speaks into our very nature in the day and age that we strive to be someone. We want to be something. We don't want to just be some speck out there in the cosmos. We want to be the star. And boy, our culture encourages us to strive to be that star, to be more significant, to be more successful, to be something more, when the only thing we ever needed to be is who we were created to be, and that is a child of God, redeemed in Christ Jesus, made in his image to serve and to worship him and to work alongside him in his mission and purpose here on earth as it is in heaven, when in truth, that is the only thing we need to be something or someone in this life. Someone once told me the thing that everybody wants in this world is to be significant. They want to be significant and they want to be successful. That's an innate desire in our hearts. And let me tell you, when I read what Peter writes here, that's all I need to be significant. That's all I need to be special, because I know who I am, because I'm blessed, because blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, an inheritance that's eternal, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Even if these efforts that we make in this life to be something even more may be positive, they may be good things, they can distract us from the true priorities of this life in having an eternal perspective on life where we would spend quality time with God. We would seek to spend time apart with God in prayer, conversing and contemplating him, studying the word, growing in our knowledge of him, and living a life of mission at the sacrifice of ourselves. Understand, just like we're called to radical, reckless generosity and giving, that doesn't just include our treasure. It also includes our time and our gifts. And that we give of ourselves for heavenly pursuits and not worldly pursuits that often prevent and hamper our spiritual growth in him. When you pour out your life for this life, you will get what you pour your life out for. That's something we discussed last week a little bit more in detail. But you will get your reward. And as we discussed, it's a reward that's here today and it's gone in the next. Meaning it has no lasting eternal value. And I think about a couple of illustrations that I have borrowed and used on multiple occasions these past 6 years because they're the perfect illustrations for capturing this truth. The first is just a simple image. You can't take it with you. No matter how hard you try, there is no U-Haul that you can attach on the back of the hearse that's going to go into eternity with you. No matter how hard you try, there's nothing in this life, there's no title, there's no position, no item, nothing, absolutely nothing that will pass on with us into eternity. Actually, wait, I got to correct myself. There is one. There is one title that will, and that is beloved child of God. And that is the only thing that will pass on from us in this life into eternity. That we are beloved children of God. Quite frankly, it's the only thing that matters too. Just like an illustration I've used often that I borrowed from Francis Chan that talks about our life here and our life in eternity, if we could just pretend that the tip of this tie on my Bible is our life here. This is our life here and now, and we pour so much focus into our life here and now. We pour so much worry and time and angst into our life here and now. And we neglect that life that is to come, that life that goes on forever into eternity, that life that never ends. Yet all of our preoccupation, all of our focus is right here. We're so worried about this, and we have all this to come. And isn't that the way we overcome all the obstacles and barriers, is taking our eyes off of the life that's here and now and focusing them on the life that is to come, knowing good and well that when we live for here and now, we'll receive that reward. But that reward is just for here and now. We should be seeking to live for the eternity to come. And in this, we must seek to overcome that self-imposed barrier of busyness and distraction. Because if the devil can't make us sin, he will surely make us busy. Keeping our eyes off the eternity to come and focusing our lives on the here and now only. It is truly a tragedy how many of us today are too busy or too uncomfortable to spend even a moment with the Lord in adoration. To go to a place where this no longer works, to shut off the noise for just a moment. Silence makes people uncomfortable in our culture. Have you ever experienced that yourself? I know I have. I'm a pretty loud person, and apologies for that. I like to talk, apologies for that too. And the thing is, whenever it's silent, I feel like there needs to be something to fill the air. We don't necessarily attract to places like that when it's in those places where we can truly come into the presence of God without distraction, without worry, that we can set aside the things of this world and say, God, help me focus my eyes on you right now. It is truly a tragedy how we find putting ourselves in those situations so uncomfortable. And the reality and the truth is, we often use it an excuse saying, well, I'm just too busy for that. And that's what it is. It's an excuse because we are only as busy as we make ourselves busy. We are only as distracted as we choose to be. Much like the illustration I was talking about with my son. And I had his permission to share that embarrassing story. It's so easy for us to make ourselves distracted. Be like, okay, I can do this and this at the same time. And yeah, we call that multitasking, but I'm not very good at juggling. I don't know about you. And eventually I start dropping things. But it's when we can actually separate ourselves and we can put our focus on Christ and Christ alone. Boy, that's where the true living hope that we have in him begins to be birthed forth in our lives. This is not a new problem either. It's an ancient problem, a problem that goes all the way back to the time of Jesus. In fact, I think about the moment of history captured for us by the Gospel of Luke with Mary and Martha in Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Boy, this sounds like an argument that happened in our house last night. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The real question for us is, what portion do we choose in this life? This life is limited, and our days are numbered. How much more essential is it for us to detach ourselves from our material and secular world, our worldly lives, and simply practice the presence of God inwardly and outwardly through living a life of discipline, knowing God and being known by him. As I love what that one medieval monk once said, whenever he was asked, you just sit here all day doing nothing in the church. He says, no, I'm doing something. I look at him and he looks at me and we smile at each other. To just simply be still and know that he is God. Because all too often we are fooled by the enemy to clutter our life with busyness and distraction, convincing ourselves to walk into a self-made prison. That even though we could say we are doing good things, but we must ask, are they just good things for today, or are they good things for tomorrow? Because if we are not careful, we can allow all those good things to sever our connection to the only true good that we have in this life. By misplacing our priorities, glorifying our own busyness like Martha, and missing the good portion that Mary has found, missing the sheer peace and joy that comes from knowing him and being known by him, that joy that Peter expressed, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Misplacing this great gift for that which the culture glorifies is to misplace our true priority and the true life that we've been called to, causing us to live in a life of constant anxiety and hurry, which seeks to do more, to be more, and to strive for more, when all that we need is found in him. If we would just learn to practice what that wonderful psalmist wrote in Psalm 46:10, to be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Simply looking to God and Him looking back and smiling. Reprioritizing our lives around rhythms and patterns that more reflect the life of Jesus, the abundance of life that He came to give. Because when He says, I came to give life and life abundantly, He wasn't just talking about some distant day in eternity. He was talking about here and now. And that abundance of life was life as it was intended. Life in a proper, holistic relationship with God. Life with great purpose and mission. Mission beside and along our Father in heaven. Giving up our worldly pursuits for the most valuable pursuit that there can be in this life. Being part of His kingdom work here on earth as it is in heaven. Being a place, a touch point where God's kingdom breaks through us into this world. Being what we are created to be, the very temple of God. Being that very first temple that we see in the Word of God, the Garden of Eden, where God and man were with one another, where His space and our space overlapped and were one. That same garden that we are promised that is coming again upon His return. The garden that was ripped away from us due to our sin and rebellion. Do not let hell steal away from you the most valuable and precious thing you possess in this life. Do not let hell steal away from you an authentic, real, and righteous relationship with God through those self-made barriers that we often create of busyness and distraction. Rather, choose a life of discipline. Choose a life of ultimate purpose, eternal purpose, choosing a life on mission. In mission and service to God's kingdom, understanding that we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. No longer living for today, no longer being focused on the day, but rather living and being focused on the eternity to come. Remembering that our enemy, the devil, if he can't make us sin, if he can't get us to fall down, he'll surely make us busy. To which I challenge you as children of the Most High God today to not even give the devil a second of your time. Rather, redeem it, reclaim it. Seek to reestablish that time with who it was supposed to be with Jesus Christ. Setting our eyes on the eternity to come and focusing our life and actions on the life that leads us to growth and maturity in Christ. No longer being caught up in the activities that merely distract us and take us away from His presence, but being solely focused on being in His presence. And working alongside and with Him here on this earth as we will in heaven. Leaving us with one more barrier that we, Lord willing, and the creek doesn't rise, we'll discuss next week. Another barrier of fear. The barrier of the fear of failure. Which I fully believe we will actually get into eventually. But as I said, when God speaks the way He spoke to me this week, and reminds you three different times of something you desperately needed or reminded of. Because I don't know if this message was for you today, but I definitely know it was for me. To be reminded of how much we distract ourselves, how much we busy ourselves, and we keep our focus away from Him and on this world. May we return to the only one, the only title that matters, and that's being a child of God. You have to be nothing more than that to be significant. And as we'll discuss next week, there's nothing more than that that will make you the most successful you'll ever be in this life and in the life to come. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade. but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen.